Good morning, brother. Brother Willie Franklin.
Morning, Brother Willie Franklin.
Good morning, brothers. Brother Whitfield.
Morning, brother.
Well, everybody, put your hands together. Come on.
With me, my brothers, to the only one in the universe who gives us perpetual light and life and love. Men of Omega have come together early in the week and early in the morning in an effort to synchronize our being with your holy will for our daily living. Lord, receive our petitions this morning as we seek both direction and assistance and guidance from thee. Guide our heads in what and how we think. Guide our hearts in what and how we feel. Guide our hands in what and how we do. We stand before you, Lord, in humble submission this morning as we pray. Amen. Oh, blessed morning to each of you, my brothers, as men of Omega come together to fellowship one with each other and to turn our attention heavenward to receive and acknowledge blessings from our God. Oh, aren't you gratified in the knowledge that Omega has a long history of our elected leadership, acknowledging that any power that they may possess comes not from their own person, but from the power that can only come from on high. Oh, in humble submission this morning, our past and present grand officers in the person of First Vice Grand Basilisk Mark Jackson, our Grand Keeper of Finance Lee Rideout, our Grand Keeper of Records and Seal Sherman Charles, our Grand Counselor Clement Osemitha. They stand in the shoes once worn by the superlative sagacity of GB35 Dorsey Miller and the unmatched wisdom of GB40 Antonio Knox. Oh, who prayerfully intercedes for us, better than the winsome prayer warrior immediate past Grand Chaplain Walter T. Richardson, or the steadfast and sturdy staccato Powell, our former Grand Chaplain, who along with Professor Ray Johnson, the originator, set in motion this awesome daily opportunity to commune with each other as we commune with the Lord. Oh, helping us in the effort of teaching us to count our blessings as our immediate past Grand Keeper of Finance, Johnny Smith. And we honor the presence of Brother Grand to the third power, Melvin Zeno. Oh, leading us in the vision firstly cast by our founders 113 years ago as the captain of our friendship, GB42, Ricky Lawrence Lewis. He is with us this morning, providing that the wind off of Lake Michigan hasn't blown him from Chicago to Peoria. Brother Grant, come tell us where you are and if you found a warm place.
Good morning, Brother Grant. No, it's not warm, brother. It's cold in Chicago. Good morning, brothers. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We flew into Chicago last night, and we're here for a site visit. There's three cities competing for the 2028 Grand Conclave: Atlanta, Georgia, Chicago, Illinois, and Houston, Texas. So we're here for a site visit today here in Chicago. It's going to be a long, long day speaking to the convention folks and asking all the questions we need to ask as we prepare to select a city for the 2028 Grand Conclave. Brother Box, that was a beautiful message this morning. Great information. I was on from the beginning, and just want to thank you and Brother Fish and all the brothers who get on early and get some good uplift. Brother, we encourage you to read the International Strategic Plan that's been sent to you. If you don't have it, let me know. Let Brother Fish know or Brother Grand Chaplain know, and we'll make sure we'll get it to you. It's important you understand that document. It's our roadmap for the next 5 years. We're really excited. I'm excited about these four Grand Chaplains who's going to be on each day this week. I'm going to commit myself to be on. I don't care where I am. I'm going to commit myself to be on to hear these Grand Chaplains speak today. Certainly good to hear the Grand Chaplain, a former First Vice Grand, Brother Mel Zeno's voice this morning as well, so I'm really looking forward to that. Brother, we have a Supreme Council meeting on December 10, 7 p.m. Eastern. Please make a note. When the link come out, we'll send it to you so you can come in and chime in and listen. Tomorrow we head to Detroit. We head to Motown, to the Motor City. Brother Grand Mark Jackson is deep in the planning for the Dr. Moses C. Norman Senior Leadership Conference in 2025. So we're going to go over there and sit with the brothers of Detroit to kind of listen in on their planning session as we prepare for the Dr. Moses C. Norman Senior Leadership Conference next July. The last time I was on this call, I stayed on 5 hours, Brother Grant, afterwards fellowshipping with the brothers. I'm going to stay on again today to answer any questions brothers may have. 5 hours, man, really, 5 straight hours. It was a good fellowship. So, Brother Grant, I'm going to be on for as long as I can after this call to answer any questions, as we always do. And Brother Grant, thank you for your leadership. Thanks, Sister Carolyn, for allowing you to serve the greatest fraternity on earth, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. I want to thank all the brothers for their service as well. And happy Thanksgiving as we prepare to go to the dinner table with our families. Brother Grant, thank you for this opportunity. And I yield back to you.
God bless you. God bless you. Brothers, this is the time of the year when we pause to give thanks. And we do have a stellar lineup of men of God this week who will sensitize our hearts to what it truly means to be thankful. And our immediate past Grand Chaplain, Walter T. Richardson, starts us off in helping us to understand the importance of gratitude to each Omega man. Brother Grand Richardson, please unmute and share with us your thankful heart in this season. The line is yours.
Good morning, Brother Grand Johnson. I'm assuming I'm heard. Can you hear me?
You are heard loudly and clearly. Yes, sir.
God bless you. Good morning to all of my brothers, especially to our sitting Grand Bosselers, Brother Ricky Lewis, and to all of you, my brothers, in Christ and in fraternity. Thank you for this. I'm deliciously delighted, my brother, to have been asked by you to share some sentiments, some thoughts about this season of Thanksgiving. I read a scripture that was my father's, one of his favorite scriptures. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. They're very short verses. Rejoice, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One of my father's favorite scriptures. My father is the source of my attitude for my life of thanks. For my father, Thanksgiving was a way of life. It was a way of life for him. When asked every day from the time I remember him, greeting others and them greeting him, when they asked him how he was doing, his response was, I'm thankful. I don't remember a time in his life from the age I realized he was my father, and I had a father until the time he died last year at the age of 100, that when asked how he was doing, even when he was sick, even when he was dying, he asked my father how he was doing. His response was, I'm thankful. I learned that from him. My expression is different, but I remember his expressions about thanks and Thanksgiving. In his theology, we are surrounded by expressions of discontent. In his theology, very few people seem to be happy. He called people that were unhappy members of the NAACP, which stood for the National Association for the Advancement of Complaining People. Those are the words of my dad. He said that some people, rather than living lives of grateful contentment, live their lives filled with complaining, whining and pining and reclining. He said people complain when children are noisy instead of being thankful that they are healthy, happy, and in their right mind. We complain about our home when thousands have no homes. We gripe about work when many have no jobs. We fuss about our cars when some people do not have transportation. My daddy belonged to two organizations. He belonged to the Masons. He was a 33rd degree Mason. But he also belonged, in his words, to the Society of the Satisfied. He belonged to that, and he lived his life as one who gave thanks. I've tried to model my dad. His favorite prayer was the serenity prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept those things I cannot change, the courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And my daddy's theology, which has become mine, thanks should be visible. The scripture that says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, really has very little in my daddy's theology to do with doing. It's a matter of being. If you are happy, if you are satisfied, that thanks should be visible. It should register on your countenance, on your face, that you are satisfied, regardless of the state, Pauline language, that you find yourself, you should be visibly happy and thankful. Thanks should be visible. Thanks should be vocal. Every prayer, hallelujah, should include how thankful you are. Every prayer, every praise to our God has to include thanksgiving. For every day is a day of thanksgiving. Thanks should be visible. Thanks should be vocal. But thanks should also be volitional. You have a right to use your will to be thankful. From the text I read earlier, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I pull a few points that may prove beneficial to all of us on this line. First of all, you should have a passionate commitment to thanks. Like my father, and like I've learned to do, I'm determined, I've pledged, I've vowed that every day, regardless of what I'm dealing with, will be a day of thanksgiving. It's a passionate commitment. The scripture says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. That's every day. Have a commitment. Make a passionate commitment to be thankful. And then out of that should come a powerful contentment, which means this, that contentment and gratefulness is not the absence of the problem, but possessing joy in spite of the problems. Not happy about the problem, but be happy in the problem. Don't be happy necessarily about the challenge, but be happy while you're going through the challenge. In the challenge, be happy. My God is bigger than any problem. My God is bigger than any situation that is negative. Passionate commitment, powerful contentment. And finally, personal confidence. Like Paul, when he was in jail, wrote these words, I can do all things. He spends his entire 4 chapters in the book of Philippians talking about being content, that he can do anything at the end of that book. He's ready for anything, to use J.B. Phillips' language, ready for anything. I can do everything that Christ asked me to do based on his strength. I close, Brother Johnson, with a song written by 2 friends of mine, both deceased, Walter and Edwin Hawkins, personal friends, had the privilege of performing and appearing publicly with them. In 1991, they shared a song with me that will become a national hit. The words go like this. Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. The economy is down. People can't get enough pay. Folks without homes, living out in the streets. And the drug habits, some say, they just can't beat. But you've been my protection every step of the way, oh God, and I want to say thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for me. And Brother Johnson, that's the best I can do at 6:30 in the morning.
All right. Thank you, Brother Grant. Pay yourself $5. Pay yourself $5. Yeah. Thank you so much. We are eternally grateful to you. Brothers, the prayer wheel turns every other Monday back to a familiar voice, one that possesses great wisdom and that comes with the passage of time. He is my friend, and I love sitting at his feet because I always learn something that I've not previously known. Give ear to him, the Reverend Courtenay Lumumba Miller, chaplain to the 3rd District, as he comes to share with us. Brother Chaplain, the line is yours.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. This is truly the day the Lord has made, and we shall responsibly, repetitively rejoice and be glad in it. Brother Roy Johnson, Grand Chaplain of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, husband of Carolyn. We just thank you for your friendship until this very moment. I do thank you for giving me the opportunity to get my sermon for Thanksgiving morning by way of Dr. Reverend Grand Chaplain Richardson. Oh, what a delight, and we thank you. There is yet a word from the Lord. Now, if I was at my home church, I would raise an offering and then offer the invitation to discipleship while the fire was still hot. Paul's recitation to the church at Corinth, the second epistle, chapters 10 through 13. It's really fundamentally about lordship and discipleship. If we are under the Lord's concern and care, we have yet but to be thankful. In chapter number 10, we look at Paul's authority as he constantly and consistently declares, affirms, and reaffirms. And then he defends his authority as a result of his encounter with Christ on that lonely road. And then in chapter 12, he demonstrates his authority. And then lastly, in 13, he describes his coming. Paul to us is both minister and messenger. And in that regard, he sends the men of Omega several messages for our consideration. Number one, in chapter number 10, he declares and affirms his status. Like each one of us who comes on this call, who announces ourselves, often announces our Omega birth, our Omega originating chapter, the day of our crossing, and the position that we had in our respective processes. That is our status. Paul begins by saying, I, Paul, who am timid when I'm face to face with you, walking in humility but yet in dignity, but I'm bold about you when I am away from you. Brothers, let's consistently in this season of Thanksgiving share in our own humility, but with great rejoicing and vibrancy, who we are and whose we are, for which we are thankful. So much of his concern was about his ability to preach the gospel and to display not his authority, but the authority that comes from Jesus Christ. And then secondly, in chapter number 11, and Paul talks about his service. He wants to serve as a fool for Christ. He begins at 11 and says, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. For he talks about him being connected to Christ in such a way that he wanted to be infectious to others, to be affected by Christ as well. He talks about the church in Macedonia and the church in Achaia and the churches around that provided the super setouts for the super apostles. But yet in his humility, he was just grateful for being considered by Christ. And then not only does he confirm his status and his service, but yet he finds joy in his sufferings. In the latter part of chapter 11, verse 16, he says, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so I may do some boasting. Paul said, if I'm not going to talk about it, if I'm not going to be about it. And what he talks about is the power of Christ. He shows of what he has done in his season of being pledged by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He talks more about how he worked harder than any more prisoner, how many times he had been shipwrecked, how many times he had been scorned, how many days he had gone without sleep. He talks about how favored he is as the five times received more power and present and proclamation as a Jew. He talks about all of the things that he has been, but yet he said, if I must boast, he said, what I boast most about is the things that show my weaknesses to offer an opportunity for me to show my humility. But most of all, he says, in that suffering is this thorn I have in the flesh. The thing that I just can't get rid of, the thing that no amount of prayer will remove. But nevertheless, It will keep me constantly petitioning the power of the preeminent person in my life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, because of that thorn, it demonstrates God's sufficiency, even in the face of my human weaknesses. Not only does he show his status, his service, his suffering, but he also shares with us his love, his command, and his superior excellence in representing God's supremacy. It's really all about God's supremacy. Paul says that this is my third visit to you. He keeps coming back. He keeps coming back. He leaves not the witness behind. And he reminds them that if God is really to be who God is to you as he has been to me, we must come together and find witnesses amongst one another so that we present a unified front in order that the world may see that we are grateful and thankful because God is faithful. And then finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, as our dear brother Graham, Chaplain Richardson would say, or has said, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another on one mind, live in peace, and God will love and peace will be with you. Rejoice. Rejoice is the activity and the visibility and the vocalization as we are accepting the promises of God, even in our suffering, for our service, as our status grows and his supremacy is shown. Rejoice and strive for restoration. We could say that we are looking for brothers who strive for reclamation, even as we rejoice in being reclaimed. Uplift one another, or as Paul would say, encourage one another, and be of one mind, more than 30,000 men of individual character, but in Omega, moving in one mind, and live in peace. That is our aim, goal, and promise and purpose today, and that is to live in peace. So in doing so, that God's love will be received and God's peace will be maintained. Not terror, but God's peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us look at our prayer request for today. Oh, Brother Scott O'Powell is asking to pray for Brother Curtis Holter. He and his daughters lost their on the loss of his son and their mother. We're praying for their family's peace and restoration. We're praying for Mother Gomez as she's gone and her family as they've gone on. She's gone on to be with the Lord. She was a caretaker of Charlotte of Wilson as one of the babysitters. We're praying for her and thanking God for her 80 years of love, peace, and grace. We're praying for the family of Brother Larry Woods and as he has entered Omega chapter on Friday. We're thanking God for his service and praying for him. We're praying for Brother James Batty as he's in the hospital recovery, that God would continue to lift him. We're praying for Brothers Randy Burnett, Brother Malvin Moore. We're praying for Big Jack. We're praying for QX Charlotte Jackson. We're praying for Robert Bob Bell. We're praying for Virgil Parker. We're praying for Oily Dog Robert Smith. We're praying for Miss Kristen Stanley, daughter of Brother Dwayne Gant. We're praying for Courtney Lattimore, daughter for Brother Kirk Lattimore. We're praying for QX Regina Willis and mother of Brother Dwayne Mallory. We're praying for them and keeping them lifted up. We're praying with the families of Mrs. Jennifer Hawthorne. We're praying for Mr. Gary Horton. Again, we're praying that God will continue to strengthen them from Brother Michael Carter. We're thanking God for each of them in their time and seasons of relief and restoration. We're praying for Brother Willie Van, who recently had knee surgery. We're thanking God for him and his recovery. We'll continue to pray for our Supreme Council, our elected officials, our committee chairs, and those who move about, in a special prayer for their families to allow them to share with them in their ministry of hope, help, and healing.
Wheeler and Pat, Pat Brighton. We'll continue to pray for those that stand in need. We will pray for those who have a changed mind, who have issues saying thank you in the seasons of gratitude. We're praying for prayers, healing prayers for the brother of Mark, Robert Clemens, Mark Clemens. We're praying for Mark Clemens. We're praying for Dr. Johnny Youngblood, First Lady Youngblood from the House of Hope Fellowship in Seattle, Washington. We're praying with them. We're praying for Grand Counselor, Brother Osimitha, in the transition of his mother from labor to removal. Continue to lift her up. And Christina Ward Young's healing and recovery. And Tyree Tasco, as he recovers from having a tough and rough week. These are our prayer requests, brothers, and we share them even now, believing in Matthew 11:28-30, that Jesus invites people who are burdened and overwhelmed to find rest in him. And brothers, let us grab our collective prayer requests in our bosoms so that we might approach the throne of grace boldly, but in utmost consideration of those in whose shoulders we stand and whose burdens we bear. Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening time so that God might collectively commit our compassionate, concerned, considerate, and Christologically contrite hearts even at noon. God, we thank you even as we approach the season of thankfulness for a word that is relevant and real and resilient even now, that leads us to the place of rejoicing. A word that reminds us that our praise and thanks must be physical, vocal, and must be of our own volition. We thank you, O God, for a message of hope and liberation, and even a message of hope that causes us to fall to our knees with our face to the rising sun, seeking both mercy and then lifting our voices and our hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up the everlasting doors in thanksgiving, because tragedies are commonplace. And our tragedies have escaped us this morning. So we're thankful today because we have announced many homegoings, many transitions, but the transitions have not been us. For we are the men of Omega, present and accounting, standing on the wall. So we're thankful that we still have ability to stand, breath to breathe, to think, eyes to see, our thankful things that our presence, hands to touch and feel, to grow and to share our gratefulness. So all of these things we are grateful for. So as we lift up our voices, we thank our thanksgiving to change our minds from our hearts of pain and problem, and then move them to triumph and thanks, as you have shown up time and time again. We're thankful, God, today because we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in your holy word. You have never failed to say. Your delay does not mean our denial or our dismay. It simply means that you move in your power, in your might, and in your authority. So today, we do more thanking than we do asking. The asking that we have today is that you receive our thanksgiving. And because we're spending so much time being grateful and admonishing you and admiring you for the way that you work on our behalf, we'll forget momentarily about our pain, our problems, and our persistent suffering. And we'll just look with a praiseful heart to how great you are as our God. So you've heard the prayers, consider the plights, the problems that persist in our very permanent lives, and consider them in your own way, but also as we join the angelic choir to sing your praises with the holies of holies, in the holies of holies, with your heavenly host. Receive our thanksgiving even now. For this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.